Good morning, folks. It is Little Nugster here on this Thursday morning, which is actually Valentine's Day Eve, if you would say. It's going to be a little bit of a short one today. So without further ado, let's start off with what happened on NXT. We got the Bruiserweights, Matt Riddle, and Pete Dunne coming out in what looks like a customized golf cart. Talking about them winning the finals in the Dusty Rhodes Classic, defeating the Grizzled Young Veterans. And basically, the stipulation was whoever wins the Dusty Rhodes Classic faces the Undisputed Era for the NXT tag titles. So, since the Bruiserweights ended up winning the Dusty Rhodes Classic, they will face the Undisputed Era for the NXT tag titles at TakeOver Portland, which is coming up this weekend on Sunday. Now, while the Bruiserweights were talking about the match that they had during the Dusty Rhodes Classic, Undisputed Era ended up coming out as well. And I guess they got into a little brawl, and then eventually the Undisputed Era ended up kind of walking away from the Bruiserweights. Then shortly after that, we had Angel Garza coming out, who ended up appearing, I believe, last week on Raw, and did maybe a match. I think it was last week. He did a match with Humberto Carrillo or something. But he ended up having a match with Swerve Scott, which ended up being really great. I liked it. I believe Swerve Scott was part of the Fatal 4-Way match at Worlds Collide. He was in a Fatal 4-Way match for the Cruiserweight Championship, which was Angel Garza at the time, and then it turned out to be Jordan Devlin to get the win in that match. So Jordan Devlin is now your Cruiserweight Champion. Angel Garza ended up winning the match. Like I said, it was a really great match. They both are pretty talented in the ring. Then after that, we had Dominik Dijakovic facing Killian Dain, which also was a pretty decent match. So I believe after that match, Keith Lee ended up coming out, and he basically told Dominik Dijakovic that at TakeOver Portland, he will be facing Keith Lee for the North American Championship. I think this match is taking place at NXT TakeOver Portland. I believe he is. If not, my mistake. So then we end up going into an interview with Finn Balor and Johnny Gargano, because they have a match at TakeOver Portland. I think this is going to be a really good match. They have a lot of heat on each other. Finn Balor says he was going to be taking out basically the best in Johnny Gargano, you know, the best in NXT, but I believe it's kind of the same thing because Finn Balor ended up being the best on NXT, and then when Finn made his main roster debut, I believe that's when Johnny Gargano took over NXT. So, really looking forward to that match. Then we ended up having a match with Mercedes Martinez, and she was going against the former American Ninja Warrior female, Casey Catanzaro. I'm probably butchering her name, but these two were okay. It was an okay match. There were some good moves by Casey, you know, showing her, I guess, gymnast background. But unfortunately, Mercedes Martinez ended up taking the win. So then we ended up, throughout the night, we ended up having to see, like, video of the Undisputed Era trying to look for Tommaso Ciampa. And then at one point, they were walking by trailers. And then Tommaso ended up coming out from behind one of the trailers, ended up attacking Undisputed Era, then finds Adam Cole, and then attacks Adam Cole. And shortly after that, the rest of the Undisputed Era ended up attacking Tommaso. Eventually, they end up going back into the arena because they were outside before, so all of them are inside going towards the ring. And then the Bruiserweights ended up coming out to help Tommaso Ciampa. And shortly after that, William Regal came out to make a match, which basically was the Undisputed Era. I believe it was Roderick Strong, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly. No, never mind. Not that. It was Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly versus Tommaso Ciampa, Pete Dunne, and Matt Riddle. So that match was made for the main event. Shortly after that, we had Jordan Devlin, your Cruiserweight Championship, coming out. I guess there was a match against Tyler Breeze. Ever since I heard Tyler Breeze going down to NXT, I've kind of been noticing how much better he's been in NXT. I believe at one point when Tyler Breeze ended up going back to NXT, he got attacked, and then Fandango made his return, I believe, from getting injured. I believe he had some sort of, I forget what kind of injury it was. Maybe it was like a shoulder injury or leg injury, some kind of injury, and basically brought Breezango back together. And then at some point, Fandango got injured again, so he's out. So it was Jordan Devlin versus Tyler Breeze. I thought this was a pretty great match. They both did really great. As I was saying before, I've noticed Tyler Breeze getting a lot better since he went back into NXT, which is really great. And then Jordan Devlin took the win in that one. So he is still your NXT Cruiserweight Champion. So then Bianca Belair came out, started talking about Charlotte. And then while she was talking about Charlotte, ironically enough, Charlotte came out. Charlotte started talking to Bianca Belair, and then Rhea Ripley came out. And, you know, they were talking back and forth, and then Charlotte ends up shoving Bianca out of the way. Kind of basically, shoves Bianca out of the way. Bianca started trash talking while she was kind of on the side. And kind of like moving her arms around, being like, what are you doing? This is like, you don't do that to me. And then both Rhea and Bianca started attacking Charlotte. So there was like a little brawl after that. Oh, excuse me. Then pretty much after that, we had the match between Undisputed Era, Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly versus Tommaso, Pete Dunne, and Matt Riddle. I thought it was a pretty good match. But unfortunately, Roderick Strong ended up interfering in the match, which basically resulted in a disqualification. Then at one point the lights go out, and then you saw, I believe, those three circles appear on the Titantron, and then lights came out, or lights came back on, or there was like a spotlight or something, and Velveteen Dream appeared. And it ended up taking out Undisputed Era, because I believe it was sometime, I think it was around Survivor Series, the Undisputed Era ended up taking out, attacking Velveteen Dream, which got him injured. I don't remember what the injury was. But Velveteen Dream ended up making his return back from getting injured. So maybe we'll see, Velveteen Dream have a feud with one of the guys from Undisputed Era. Maybe a feud with, Roderick Strong. All right. So next we're going to talk about, SmackDown. I didn't really write much down for SmackDown. I didn't really have a lot of time to watch it. So pretty much the only thing I was interested in was, whatever was going on with Goldberg. It was announced, I believe, on Raw. It was either Raw or, yeah, I think it was Raw. Monday Night Raw, there was an announcement, or, one of those, like, preview announcements, saying that Goldberg will be appearing on Friday Night SmackDown. Basically saying like who's next for Goldberg. So that's pretty much the only thing I'm going to talk about that happened on SmackDown. So when it got to that point, Michael Cole was about to introduce Goldberg, but sadly enough, Goldberg didn't really come out. The thing I really wanted him to do. I I thought it would have been a better idea for him to actually come out and go into the ring and speak. But instead, we heard from him via satellite. And he ended up saying that he never got his rematch. After having a match with Brock Lesnar. He had a match with Lesnar for the title. He got the title at one point and then lost it again. So I guess he's trying to come back and go for another title run. So he ended up issuing a challenge to The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. And supposedly that match will be taking place at Super Showdown. A couple days after I saw this on SmackDown, I read something, I believe it was on Instagram. Because I guess it was rumored that there was going to be a match between Undertaker and Sting. At first, I kept hearing that it might be a rumored match for WrestleMania. But then, I ended up hearing that there was supposed to be or going to be a match planned between these two, between Undertaker and Sting. They were supposed to be planning a match for a Super Showdown. And then I think, and from what I read, I believe WWE was asking Sting to have a match against Undertaker at Super Showdown, he ended up saying no. Which I believe then resulted in them going to Goldberg and basically saying, you know, who's next for Goldberg. And then that's when Goldberg ended up issuing a challenge to The Fiend. So we will be seeing Goldberg versus The Fiend at Super Showdown for the Universal Championship. Will Goldberg defeat The Fiend? We will find out. Alright. Next, we're going to talk about Monday Night Raw. Raw ended up opening with Seth Rollins in the ring with Buddy Murphy and the AOP. And he was talking about how he's the Monday Night Messiah and stuff like that. Then Kevin Owens ended up coming out. Then when he was about to, or while he was talking, the Viking Raiders ended up coming out. And then shortly after that, Samoa Joe came out. And the four of them ended up brawling with Rollins, AOP, and Buddy Murphy. And I believe that led to a 8-man tag team match for the main event of Raw. I'm actually going to spoil that now, and I believe Murphy, AOP, and Seth Rollins got the win. But after that, As the Viking Raiders, Samoa Joe, and Kevin Owens were celebrating their brawl, Becky's music started playing, and then out came Becky Lynch. She came out, ended up talking about Asuka, and then apparently Asuka came out and had a match with Becky Lynch. And it was for the Raw Women's Championship. which ended up, it was a pretty good match. But unfortunately, Becky ended up retaining. And then we ended up seeing Shayna Baszler come from behind and attacking Becky Lynch. She kind of did her submission move on her, and then you saw Shayna Baszler take her mouthpiece out, her mouth guard, and she ended up biting Becky Lynch on the back of her neck, which I thought was a little weird. I was literally looking, as this was happening, I was kind of weirded out, being like, okay, why did she do that? So, Raw continued on. There was Mojo Rawley and Riddick Moss ended up coming out, and they had a match between the Street Profits. Then shortly after that, they had their match. It was okay. The Street Profits ended up winning. And then Mojo kind of looked at Riddick Moss being like, what was that? Because I believe one of the guys from the Street Profits ended up pinning Riddick Moss. So I believe Riddick Moss ended up kind of beating up Mojo Rawley and then ended up pinning Mojo for the 24/7 championship. And kind of surprisingly enough, you have a new 24/7 champion, and that is Riddick Moss. He pinned Mojo Rawley shortly after that match. All right, got a couple more things here to talk about. Shortly after that match, we had MVP come out. I guess he had, I don't remember him having this, but he kind of had this little segment called the VIP Lounge, which I believe he brought back. As you all know, last week, I guess on Instagram, MVP stated that his match between Rey Mysterio was his last match on Monday Night Raw. So at this time, I would like to thank MVP for his WWE career. Maybe we'll see him on TV more for maybe backstage segments, or maybe he'll be part of WWE as a producer or a writer, or maybe they'll just have him around a little more and do these VIP lounge segments. Thank you MVP for your career in WWE, and I wish you the best in your future. All right. So MVP had his VIP lounge segment, and his guest was Drew McIntyre. And I guess forth. And then at one point it kind of looked like they were gonna go go after each other, but Drew ended up giving a claymore kick to MVP. Then after that, I guess there was a backstage segment between for Rhea Ripley. And then out of nowhere, Sarah Logan came from behind talking to Rhea Ripley. And then shortly after that, Sarah Logan came out calling out Rhea Ripley. So they had a match, and it was a quick one. It was, I guess you can say, it was a squash match, and Rhea Ripley ended up taking the win. The last thing I'm going to talk about was something that I have been really interested in since about 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, we saw the return of Edge at the Survivor Series, or not Survivor Series, at the Royal Rumble. And then the next night on Monday Night Raw, Edge came out, started talking about why he came back, and then after that, Randy Orton came out, started talking about that Edge was the guy that he always came to when he needed help, and then he was said that Edge was talking about what ifs. And then Randy came up with the idea of what if Red and RKO got back together one last time. And then pretty much after that, Randy Orton gave Edge an RKO. And then he was about to, I guess, damage his neck even more and take a chair, basically put his neck between it, and he was going to go up to the top rope or jump off the top rope onto the chair. But instead, he took the chair off Edge's neck, went out of the ring, grabbed two chairs, put one underneath Edge's head, and then smashed the other chair against Edge's head. I believe that's called a concerto. I don't know where they came up with that name. But, so then, the next episode, or the next week, Randy Orton came out. He was going to, talk about why he did what he did. And the crowd was booing him like crazy every time he tried to talk. So then Randy Orton ended up saying that he can't do this right now, dropped the microphone and went towards the back. So then it was announced on this past Monday Night Raw that Randy Orton was going to come out and hopefully explain his actions. So Randy Orton ended up coming out, and he finally started talking about why he did what he did. But before he really gave a full explanation, Matt Hardy ended up coming out. And he seemed pretty upset, which us fans know the chemistry that Edge and Matt Hardy had. They had a really heated rivalry, you know, back in the day. And also, Edge, Christian, the Hardy Boys, and the Dudley Boys basically had one of the best ladder matches ever. Or no, yeah, it was they created the TLC match. So ever since then, we've all been a fan of Edge, you know, Christian, the Hardy Boys, and the Dudley Boys. So Matt Hardy was talking about how he's known Edge for a long time, and him and Edge have had, you know, the WWE Universe knows about them too, and how close they are to each other and stuff like that. So then, as soon as Matt Hardy asked Randy Orton why he did what he did, Randy Orton ended up giving Matt Hardy an RKO. And then shortly after that, he got out of the ring, grabbed the two chairs, went back into the ring, and did the same thing he did to Edge. When I look at this, I kind of think of like when Randy Orton was kind of the legend killer. Like, he was always going after the legends and kind of destroying the legends. And I kind of have a feeling we're seeing that play out a little bit. You know, because Edge is a pretty known legend in the WWE. Edge was even a tag partner to Randy Orton, and they were, you know, tag team champions a while back. So I kind of think maybe Randy is going back to his legend killer gimmick just a little bit. If not that, then he's going to a place that we know he's been to before. Back to this, you know, vicious viper out of, you know, RKOs out of nowhere type of person, you know, doing things that we haven't seen in a while. Just telling great stories. So I think like I said last week, I was basically, you know, the reason why I didn't really write much down for SmackDown was because I'm really only interested in seeing what's going on with Orton and Edge. You know, Randy Orton and Edge are basically in my top 10 favorite wrestlers of all time, you know, since I've been watching it. So these two are one of my, you know, two of my favorites. And this is like, whatever, what's going on between these two is really making me want to tune in every week to find out what's going on. And based on what is going on, I have a feeling that this is going to turn into a WrestleMania match between Randy Orton and Edge. Edge ended up signing a 3-year deal with WWE, but I believe he only has about 3 matches out of those 3 years. So he has like 3 matches and I believe like 25 appearances. So he could have, so WrestleMania would be 1 match. I'm not sure if they'll count the Royal Rumble as a match, but if they are, then that's 2 matches already. And we don't really know. We really don't know what's going to happen after WrestleMania. Like, how often are we going to be seeing Edge? We will see what happens this coming Monday. But that is it for today's episode of Little Nugs Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. If you want to continue hearing what I have to say about NXT, SmackDown, and Monday Night Raw, just subscribe to my podcast. Go to Anchor, download the Anchor app, and search for my podcast, Little Nugs Podcast. And also go into Spotify in the search bar, and I'm also available on Spotify, I believe Google Podcasts, possibly Stitcher, I'm not really sure what other platforms my podcast is available on, but whatever, wherever you listen to your podcast, just search Lil Nugs Podcast. That's L-I-L Nugs with an apostrophe S, N-U-G apostrophe S, and then podcast. So, thank you for listening to this episode, and I will talk to you guys next week.